Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level and intergalactic prairie studios. We alter your locus release by warming your synapses with juvenile radio waves. This keeps your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it, James Babb? Yes. Can you feel it?
Yes.
Michael W. Dean, and can you feel it, Steve Miller?
Yes.
Jim Jesus, yes, can feel it. And of course, the Freedom Fiends is covered by BIPCOT. No government license. It allows reuse by anyone except government. You can learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yep. So Fiend Phone keeps crashing for James Babb and nobody else. Yep. And I talked extensively with Derek Slopey today about this, and what we figured out was that it's because James Babb doesn't like me. So Fiend Phone keeps, like, it's become sentient and it's cutting him off.
But it worked before when I didn't like you. What's different now?
Well, I was asking you before the show if you liked me or not. And actually, it's about specific things that I want to talk about on the show. This is so not radio, but that's what I love about it. This is not what people do on radio. They don't take their regular co-hosts and say to them, like, so you really don't have any respect for me, huh? Let's talk about that.
to be fair, having this conversation on Fiend Phone gives you kind of a home court advantage. If we had it on Babagram, he would have a home court advantage. Yeah. But, you know.
Yeah, and that's Steve Miller, who's on, like, every social network that there is, and I haven't even heard of most of them. I don't know what they are.
Yeah, add me on Tumblr.
So,
or Rumbler. I follow him on Rumbler.
I follow him on Rumbler. I challenge him to fights on Rumbler. So, Bab. Hey, Bab, do you think it's weird or bad radio that I talk a lot about my health problems and about... What else was it you were joking or not joking today about? What was your list?
Chris Cantwell.
Yeah.
TV shows that nobody watches.
Yeah.
And your colon.
Okay.
And this was
a response to an email I posted from Lou, where our co-host Lou, where Lou said... He was listening to the local radio station, and they were talking the talk show. They were like reading the prices of the soup at the local cafe, and then interviewing people on the street about the new 1 cent library tax, and then like talking about the most regifted Christmas present is socks. Like basically saying, man, that's not very relevant radio outside of old people in that one town, which right. I call grandpa butt dial radio, because I've actually heard a show that sounded like that. It sounded like grandpa accidentally was broadcasting on his phone and he and grandma were walking around talking about various restaurants. Now, what do you think of us doing that on the Fiends? Like what we do?
So help me God, I thought you were going to ask him about a restaurant. I really thought you were going to be like, so how do you feel about the Maple Leaf?
I think any material can be turned into great radio. All it takes is great Fiends. So that's why I don't worry about it. You know what? Like it's some topics may be more challenging than others, but I figure my job is to try to make stupid jokes about whatever you throw out there. So bring it, whatever it is. I don't care. Yep. But this is my rule, though, because sometimes you wonder, like, gosh, is it safe to make jokes about, like, for instance, you know, making jokes about health I wouldn't normally do. But I figure it's kind of like if the prosecution brings it up, then you can bring it up in cross-examination later.
Oh, see, so I don't mind you making jokes about my health.
I'll make jokes about it. Of course.
I thought you didn't want me to bring up my health. I thought you thought I was talking too much about it on radio.
Well, I'm just saying if you do, I will make jokes about it. And make jokes about including... jokes on the radio about
that's
it.
So cool. I won't that's cool, because that means I won't have to disappear you know. There's I'm not going to say any names, but some of our regular listeners may notice there's two Fiends that are just not Fiends anymore, and I never mentioned it. I never bashed them. They just got disappeared, man. And there was another one, Nikki Darling, who I fired her, but then there were two that like got disappeared. That's all I'm going to say. But I don't have to do that with James, because he respects me. Okay. Or at least my vision for radio. See, I want to do radio. I want to take radio places it's never gone, even if it occasionally means taking it places it probably shouldn't go. Because radio is such... It's so compelling, but it's kind of such a boring format. Like Free Talk Live, God bless them. They're speaking the truth. They're bringing people to liberty. Way more people than we are. They bring them three quarters of the way there, and we bring them the rest of the way. But... we bring them the last mile, solve the last mile problem on the Fiends, take them from minarchist to anarchist. But those guys aren't even anarchists. Ian and Mark are, you know, they run for office and get involved in politics. And I think that's square. I actually think it's more anarchist to talk about my polyps than to talk about what Trump or Rubio did today. Think about that. It's like, if we're talking about Trump and Rubio, which we will, we're being involved in politics. My polyps are totally anarchist, man. You know? So
you're a Republican.
I'm a Republican. Yeah, I'm a Demoplop. Okay, so I want to not be like radio in a radio format. Like Free Talk Live, God bless them. Their format is exactly the same format as the Rush Limbaugh show. It's no different. You know, there's no experimental radio that's on a bunch of stations. I want to be the weird experimental radio within the idea of, boy, it's hard enough. We're already, you know, we're already anarchist, basically anarcho-capitalist. It's kind of like, and here's a hell of a joke. When my daughter was dying of cancer, I told my Jewish friend that she'd just taken one of those genetic things to get cross-matched for bone marrow, and she'd found out that she was Ashkenazi Jew. And I told my Jewish friend that, and he's like, man, as if she doesn't have enough problems already.
That's, you know, funny.
And that's
dark, but that's funny. Yeah,
that's dark, and that's where I'll take it. And it's like, you know, yep. We're anarcho-capital. We don't believe in anything. We shouldn't theoretically be on any stations, but we're on a bunch of stations. And I still want to take it to. I don't want to follow the format, and I want to talk about my polyps.
Right. No. There's definitely going to be a market for that. That's why I suggested early on that we need these individual hashtags for each.
I like it. That
element,
was a good one.
Right.
Like, there is a market for it. It just doesn't
organize
any...
this. You can't just, you know, bombard people with, you know, one thing after another without giving them a way to track each particular issue.
And there is a market for it. They just don't have any money, and most of them don't have jobs. That's our listeners.
But there could be like a lot of hypochondriacs, and they probably buy a lot of health products.
Nope.
Like I said, the view for libertarians at bar closing time.
That's more accurate. And our fans don't care about their health. They're all 30 and still living like they're 20. That's the average Fiend fan. That's why I want to talk about my polyps, because I want to tell them, hey, man, when you turn 50, it all falls apart if you don't take care of yourself. So take care of yourself. It really does.
What about Cantwell then? What, that was the other contention, right?
Well, I'm going to talk about Molyneux tonight because I have a theory that his Bitcoin holdings today hit $250,000 for a minute, mm-hmm. You know, and Cantwell, I checked Cantwell's Bitcoin holdings. They hit almost a quarter of $100 today. So basically, I'm going to bash both those guys.
In the low to mid two digits, not bad.
Cantwell for not having enough money and Molyneux for having too much. But here's the thing about Molyneux is he has like 250, you know, 225 right now, $1,000 in his Bitcoin account. He has not made a withdrawal in a year and a half, and he's constantly begging. I have a friend who has a theory that I'm kind of believing that he lost the pass key to it, but he's too embarrassed to admit it, so he's still having people donate. Now, that sounds nutty until you find out that he did that
before.
Sense.
Yeah.
He did that before and admitted it, though. He had a Bitcoin account that had, at the time, $6,000 worth of Bitcoin in it. He lost the pass key, or it got corrupted or something. He didn't have it backed up. You know, he didn't have a paper wallet. There's a million things he could have done. Yeah, and he laughed about it. He was like, oh, this is the, well, whatever, you know, Bitcoin, it's my fault, not, you know. And that Bitcoin now would be worth $111,000. And this is the guy that's like belittling college students for only sending $2. So he flushed at least $6,000 down the toilet and laughed about it. And I have the documents.
Boom.
Documents.
Yeah.
But there was also another interesting update about Molyneux as well. I guess the court case between him and True Sheebs, remember we used to run commercials about her?
Yeah, True Sheebs. Yep.
it has been settled, and Stefan Molyneux has released a public statement saying relieving her of any wrongdoing.
I saw the statement. It seemed to imply that he'd blamed it all on DeMarco and fired DeMarco, but he didn't say he fired DeMarco. Did he fire DeMarco?
No, it was basically just kind of, you know, him letting him be the whipping boy, and there you go.
He did it. He did it over there. Yeah. That guy did it.
So did she get any money for her trouble, or did he just get an apology and that was it?
Well, I had dug it, and I couldn't find it again, but I had dug it up, and it said that they had dismissed the case, and each party was responsible for their own legal fees. Huh. So I think that's what the court said. What kind of settlement, we don't know yet. She's been kind of quiet about everything, so, you know.
That might be part of the settlement, is to not go around talking about it. Yeah. Wasn't Molyneux on the Joe Rogan show where he took full credit for the DMCA takedown and like just took tried to justify it?
Well, he kind of pinned it on him just a little bit, but he said that he fully supported what he did.
He said, of course, I had to do it, and
he allowed him to do it with the FDR. Email address and the name of the company, or I guess it wasn't a company until after he got sued.
But he a retroactive corporation.
He formed a retroactive corporation and then used that name on the DMCA, so it says it was taken down by Free Domain Radio and not Michael DeMarco.
Anarchy there for all the many things in life. For everything else, there's the state.
What's that a takeoff on? That's pretty good.
A MasterCard.
MasterCard. The card.
I knew it was some charge
you.
Card. I didn't know. Slave card.
Was that the one where they had that coked out guy telling us that Bitcoin is evil?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just
wanted
to make sure that was the same.
That coked out. He looked coked out. Yeah. He looked, I don't know, he was really sweaty. I'm not going to say he was coked out, but he really looked like he made it, you know, at 6 a.m. after being up all night deciding what was going to be in it with some committee.
Lame.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, man. We did so much coke, man. We got to do something, man. Hey, you got a video? Oh, let's talk about Bitcoin.
So speaking of my colon. Speaking of my colon and my lungs, I've been sick for a year today because I remember the first time. I mean, I probably had, you know, sleep apnea for 10 years. But when it really hit me was mid-December. I remember shoveling last year and nearly having a heart attack.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
I was just waiting for, if we're talking about Woody Allen, I was just waiting for someone, for probably Steve to make a Sonny joke.
Nah, that's a little too low-hanging comedic fruit for
you know,
me.
Good.
Yeah.
Because I already rehearsed my yelling at you about that. I've been fighting with you guys in my head all day. I just waited to bring it on here. If anyone said anything about Sun Yi, I was gonna be like, come on, man, they're married, she's 45, he's 80, they have kids. Isn't
so basically, over it? Tonight's episode is like this treacherous landscape laden with traps, and nobody's stepped on any of them yet. You're like, ha ha ha, masterfully done.
Well, that's what addicts do. You know, and I've heard this in a lot of meetings, and it's kind of true, even in recovery. Like, you know, like a normal, like a non-addict person, non-alcoholic person, they'll get cut off in traffic, they'll flip the guy off, and by the time they get to work, maybe their heart's kind of pounding a bit, but they kind of forgotten about it. And like the addict or alcoholic, or even if they're in recovery, someone with that brain wiring, they'll get cut off in traffic. And like, you know, 7 weeks later, they're like, how can I find that guy and murder his children? You know,
I get that. I'm not an alcoholic, but I get that. You know,
well, maybe you have what it takes.
I've never been to a meeting.
No, maybe you have what it takes. If you have that kind of if you have that kind of resentment power in your brain, but it's you know, and it also like it exasperates itself on the internet. And I think people who don't even have the addict gene, like You know, like people who want to dox you or kill you, or I will come to your house with my legion of terror, you know, that kind of like, and it's some kid.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. No, I don't have those feelings. That's like a weird mental illness thing.
You know what that mental illness is, though? It didn't exist really that way when we were younger. It's the internet. It's because people can now fight with strangers, and they say things they'd never like say Rumbler. In person.
That's why Rumbler is the best app ever.
Yeah, because people used to get punched in the face for saying that kind of stuff. Like, if people said face-to-face what they generally say on the internet, they'd get punched in the face once or twice a month.
Right, but so it's this weird level of communication evolving without that natural punch-in-the-face check. There's no limits to how rude it can go.
We haven't evolved yet to like deal with it.
Principle. Oh, the non-aggression principle.
Right. But like previously our language is like roped in by the like the around the borders, you get punched in the face. So without that, there is no limit.
Yeah, and you know, it's like I said in 1996, the great thing about the internet is you talk to people you'd never know existed otherwise. And the horrible thing about the internet is that you talk to people you never knew existed otherwise.
Ooh, who's vibrating?
There you go.
Who's vibrating? I haven't had that much coffee. So Steve Miller wanted to talk about somebody who did something in Ferguson or something. What was it?
Yeah, there. Okay, so in tonight's Someone Who Did Something segment, we have found, so there is huge kerfuffle in the Black Lives Matter community.
Kerfuffle.
Because, and I'm sure we've seen this script before, it turns out that somebody who's an activist took a bunch of money and for a given cause, and they said
that's not just a white people problem.
It is not just a white people problem. It is not just a liberty problem. It is an activist problem. Yep.
Well, I'm in desperate need of money.
Yep. And,
at least he spends it. Come on, man. I'll bet Cantwell takes every $20 he gets a month and spends it on food or beer. He's never lost his Bitcoin key. He's never raised $10,000 for a documentary that never happened.
Who did that?
True.
Who raised $10,000 for a documentary that didn't happen?
Oh, lots of people.
Molyneux and possibly Kokesh.
Oh, and
yeah, Kokesh definitely did.
And Victor Pross.
And what did Tony Styles do? Did he raise money for something that we can't prove happened, or what do you say?
Multiple things we can't prove happened. Mainly the arrest of a fictitious person at a Planned Parenthood protest. And
he says that he's part Indian, though. He told me he's part Indian.
Of course he did. He told me he was a Baptist missionary.
I think that's a microaggression right now. That because he's a liar, he's also an Indian. I think that's a terrible microaggression.
No, it's not. It's people say they're 164th Indian because you can't prove it. When I was a kid, like every girl I dated, her father had told her she was related to Pocahontas. It was like it just kept coming up in my life. The title for tonight's show is Fit, and this is something that this girl Suze posted on the website. I love this Fitbit for measuring microaggressions.
Nice.
Yes, you guys know what Fitbit is? Fitbit's kind of like an iWatch for measuring your heart rate for joggers. It keeps track of your body function, you know, your heart rate and your respiration and how far you walk. So
right, then you like download it and look at it in an app or whatever.
Yeah, and share it with your friends and go to.
Like a Fitbit automatically measures these things. Does the Fitbit have like a microphone and listen for microaggression?
I use Map My Run. Maybe there's a Trigger Me Timbers app.
Okay. I just want to say that's the name of the show tonight. So go ahead. Go ahead with your micro. Well, these are major aggressions.
Map,
that they're stealing,
map my
stealing
aggression.
Money, stealing map. Money from the families of dead kids.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Admit it. You hate shopping for Christmas. You do. It's a hassle coupled with a burden, mechanically checking off friends, relatives, and coworkers from your list. You're probably not even religious, but if you are, is buying your cousin some little made-in-China piece of plastic really celebrating the birth of your savior? This holiday season, why buy gifts for friends and relatives? Most of them are status anyway. You should send that money to the Freedom Fiends instead. The Freedom Fiends will use your money to help spread education of horizontal liberation throughout the world.
If you want to help provide inoculation from indoctrination, go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post to send your money to the fiends instead. Because buying crap for unappreciative statist relatives won't get your name on the golden floppy disk of redemption. And if you must shop for Christmas, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you anything extra, and Amazon will save you the danger of holiday drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon pretty much sells everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom, so get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com.
I remember one time in the 80s, I told my friend, you know, I think Jello Biafra from Ted Kennedy's kind of sounds like what Ronald Reagan would sound like if Ronald Reagan sang. My friend said, if Ronald Reagan sang, I wouldn't listen.
It would just be a lot of wells.
He's an entertainer. A lot of entertainers, especially that generation, you did acting, singing, dancing, juggling.
He probably did sing.
Pet tricks.
Yeah.
You know.
He was in Hollywood.
Yeah. Could be a one-man band.
He's a B actor. Was he a triple threat, Steve?
It's got to be better than Bill Clinton playing saxophone, for God's sakes.
Or Let the Eagle Soar by John Ashcroft.
Yeah, I post that on people as punishment sometimes.
Like. You like that. Because he has Republican taste in music and clothes, and that's you.
So I'm you're gonna say I have Republican taste in music. I'm gonna make you listen to John Ashcroft sing a patriotic ballad.
Remember when Barack Obama?
I don't care. You don't have to make me. I'll play it.
Well, what about Orrin
Hatch? Watch the audience.
You know, Orrin Hatch has a bunch of albums. We should probably play that.
Orrin Hatch, like, you know what? One of the things he did in his state was like commuted the sentence of some rapper that was in prison in Utah for like 10 pounds of coke. And people couldn't figure out why, but Orrin Hatch actually is like deep in the music industry and copyright stuff. And, you know, he was doing a favor for a favor, somebody probably. So.
All right.
Yeah. So go ahead, Steve.
Well, I just remember that time that when Barack Obama was trying to connect with the kids and made that doo-wop album cover. He made that doo-wop cover of Jello Biafra's Die for Oil, Sucker.
Yeah, I remember that. And then he performed it with Ministry at what's the place in Philly? It's down by where the Liberty Bell is, the punk rock club. Yeah, that place.
Dobbs. None of them anymore. Oh, yeah. Dobbs is gone now.
It's gone.
But that's where he did it. Yeah, Jello got up. Obama, before he was a liar, a socialist, his feet did stink, but he got up with Ministry and sang that Die for Oil song by Dick Kennedy's.
Yep. Hey, did you ever play at Bacchanal in Philly? That's probably before Steve's time.
No.
That was a cool little
place. I played at like Khyber Pass. Is that a thing?
That still exists.
Oh, yeah.
I played there opening for DOA, and I played at, oh, was it Trocadero? Khyber Pass, Trocadero. I played both those places. One of them we opened up for DOA. Which one holds like 600 people and has a really wide stage that's probably like chest level? Okay. Yeah, we opened
for DOA
there.
It's like an old burlesque
theater. Joey, the singer's name is Joey Poophead. We'll make it radio friendly, and they're Canadian. So
I performed at Trocadero, and the people from celebrity.com did not like my comedy because they felt it was offensive.
Nice.
So, yep, that was
well.
That
they
was
were. Good. Did they get? Did you give them proper trigger warnings?
No, this is before you could. There was no such thing as a trigger warning. People just had to exist in nature, running around
with
nothing to protect them.
I saw a trigger warning done really incorrectly today. There's this new hate group on Facebook called Keen Hates Heroin. I think it started by someone who lost a family member. And somebody at Free Talk Live said that. Like, yeah, they're pointing out that they're a hate group. Why don't they call themselves like Keen Loves Recovery or Keen Loves Helping Get the Kids Off Dope? No, Keen Hates Heroin. They're a hate group. So yeah, so they had this they had this article that was about, like, you know, they love to show pictures of dead children and people that have OD'd. It's that kind of scare tactic stuff.
Oh,
I would bet dollars to donuts that whoever made this site had a family member die of heroin and blames heroin instead of the government like they should. But they had a picture of like a bunch of needles on some article they linked. And above it, they put trigger warning, picture of needles. But the picture was there. Shouldn't the trigger warning be, and then you have to click?
Before, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like they did it wrong, it was
misapplied.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. We were teaching hospital here at Freedom Fiends, and one of the unexpected lessons that we give is how to apply trigger warning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we do it all the time. We say trigger warning.
It should give you a choice.
Giving you time to turn off the radio. You know, trigger warning, this is the Freedom Fiends.
You know, I have some examples somewhere of some really early, what's the Occidental, the college that Obama went to in L.A.? I have these letters from Hubert Selby to his editor. They were friends and wrote from New York to L.A. back and forth all the time, written on a typewriter in like the 80s. And Selby went and spoke, you know, like, oh, we have the great writer of Last Exit to Brooklyn speaking at our English class today. Like he was an invited speaker at Occidental in the early 80s. And like some feminist chick just like railed at him, like as if his characters in his book were him, which is totally not how it was. And like, and he was complaining, like, what's wrong with these kids today? I can't imagine what it's going to be like in 20 years if this is what they're teaching in colleges.
Called it. Yeah.
He called it, man. Yeah. All right. So moving right along, segueing in no related way to Ferguson. Go ahead, man.
Yeah. So this fellow, Sean King from Atlanta, who had been involved in a prior scandal because it turned out he was white around the time of Rachel Dolezal. Everybody started coming after Sean King, who is this activist who is popular on Twitter, which is a big thing for activists these days, is to be popular on social media and then steal a bunch of money. It's a very nice quick
work. You got to make it profitable somehow.
Yeah. You have to monetize all those clicks that you've been doing. So he started taking money in the wake of the Haiti earthquake in 2012. Started taking money for that. No one really knows where the money went. And then as Black Lives Matter moved and he becomes this spokesperson for Black Lives Matter, he starts taking money for Tamir Rice, who, shout out, fellow Cleveland kid, shot by cops, 12 years old. Sean King goes and makes money off of his death by...
And this was outed by Milo Yiannopoulos. Is that how you say it?
A comedian.
That's the guy from Breitbart.
Comedians love outing these people because comedians have always mocked people when they take money for some ridiculous cause. And here they are all over the place. So, yeah. I've been compared to this dude, Milo, but whatever. Yeah.
He's hot right now.
He's the gay guy, the one gay guy in conservatism.
They have one.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, they're integrated.
And this this kid is now persona non grata in Black Lives Matter. And there's a lot of parallels between the Liberty Movement and Black Lives Matter because you say things that regular people think would be ridiculous.
Yep.
And then it just takes
Except we're
as
right.
normal. Yeah, correct.
But, and I'm not saying white is right. There's a black libertarian. I've met him.
Yeah.
He's in my Guns and Weed movie.
Just one, though.
He's in my Guns and Weed movie with a rifle.
Yeah.
Sounding like a constitution lover.
We're hiring here at Freedom Fiends, so if you just talk to HR if you're out there. Dwayne, call Fiend Phone, Dwayne.
Hiring at the Freedom Fiends is hard because we don't pay, and then second of all, like, I did an open call for guests and like three or four people have sent me tape and I've respectfully declined on all of it. And it hurts my heart to do that, man. Someone wants to be a fiend. If you send me tape and I say no, don't feel bad. It's hard to be a fiend. And it's like, it's kind of a deficiency. It kind of means something's wrong with you. If I turn you down, you're probably doing better than me.
Well, it's normal to be attracted to the glamour, the fame.
I know.
The wild parties.
Wild parties.
You know,
come by the BAB tent, Michael.
Discounts on CPAP equipment. the possibilities are endless.
Of going, dangling the possibility of going to CPAP. They still didn't get back to me, though, man. She remembers what I wrote before.
If you could have seen the red carpet.
In there. I can get in there with a media pass. That's not a problem.
I don't think you could, man. Republicans like to lock people out. It's their whole thing.
I have a press pass from the Independent Gazette. It's a newspaper.
That's not the same as having a table at Radio Row,
right.
though.
That's what I said. I can get in there. Yeah.
You're not going to have a five-minute conversation with Huckabee with that pass. You would at Radio Row.
know? Right. I'd be more like the one ambushing them. Or I'd have to be like
burly Republicans in suits.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You know what? But I'm not going to give up. And you know what? There's like 19. Maybe we can I'll apply through Catmuff or something. You know, we'll get in there somehow.
Well, hey, you know, Janet Hedfield doesn't get kicked out. I don't think he's ever been kicked out of anywhere, has he?
He's from another dimension. He walks between the raindrops, man.
Yeah. Somehow, nobody Googles him before they do the interview.
Hey, you know what happens?
He kind of ambushes him.
I know. How does he do that? You know what happens when you lose
every time?
You know what happens to the Bitcoin when you lose your Bitcoin password? The Bitcoin
becomes background radiation of the universe.
There you go. That's the good answer. We also would have accepted it's there waiting for you when you arrive at Alpha Centauri. Your gift's in heaven. But you know what really happens to it? It becomes it's at the bottom of the ocean and you can never touch it. And it actually makes all the rest of the Bitcoin in the world worth a little bit more. Technically, the amount it's worth is split amongst all the rest of the Bitcoin.
Correct. Yeah, but then the story gets out about losing that much Bitcoin and nobody wants to touch it and the value goes down.
So, why would anyone ever give money to Molyneux when he's lost at least $6,000 and yells at you if you only send two?
He's nothing compared to those TV preacher guys. Remember you could fax in your prayer request?
Those guys had jet planes. Molyneux doesn't have a jet plane.
Creflo Dollar.
Right.
Molyneux's probably got a nice SUV that's paid for and that's it. You don't have no jet.
A geo tracker. Whereas Creflo Dollar has a G6.
A fleet of them. Yeah. Yeah. So never finished this story about, did you? About, or did we cut you off?
He's a thief. He's a thief. He's a liar, a socialist. He's white, and his feet stink. This kid, Sean King, is the worst part of that.
Yeah. To the people that like him. Yeah.
He blocked me on Twitter.
Well, that's why he's a thief.
I even knew who he was. When I found out who he was, I Googled him, and then I got blocked on Twitter by someone.
Who blocked me? I don't even know who this guy is. You know,
Atlas. Something.
Atlas Shrugged.
What's his name? Christoph Atlas.
Yeah, Christoph Atlas is following me, but has me blocked. I don't know. I didn't know that was possible, but it's kind of weird. Creepy.
I think it's just prudent.
Yeah.
Blocks and Beg, the road to internet fame.
Yeah,
that's a new movie being made by Sean King.
Christoph's a good dude.
Are we done with? I don't know. He has been.
That's
blocked.
It. So just I already don't like him. Be careful when you're giving to causes, dude. Because make sure you're not paying someone's rent. Make sure you're. You know,
I guarantee if people give money to the Freedom Fiends, it's all going to go to expenses, and anything that's left over is going to go to coffee and Tums, which is part of expenses of doing this radio show.
Right. When I request money, I let it be known that it's going towards probably beer while I'm on vacation.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to contribute to that fund, that's fine.
You know, I used to go to cat food and lingerie for my wife, but not anymore. It goes to, we got enough of that and we don't have cats. And so now it just goes to Tums. You know, if I spend it on something for myself, it's going to be a doctor bill probably. All right. We'll be back.
Worms.
These incessant interruptions of the market. Before I was rudely interrupted by the market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
So, on Freedom Fiends, now with more microaggressions, 50% more microaggressions. On the Freedom Fiends, James Babb said that I like to discuss movies no one's ever seen. Now, isn't that how you learn? I mean, basically, do you just want to talk about movies people seen? No, you want to talk about movies you haven't seen, so you can go see them. And there's this new movie, that little obscure indie thing called Star Wars, and we all went and saw it today. So, spoiler alert, if you don't want to hear the plot of it, go away. So, you guys want to just drop some mad science about it. Go ahead. I don't care. It was stupid. I
didn't
like it.
I couldn't believe that the thing about Jar Jar Binks being a Sith Lord was true.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun speculation in the fan communities, but I was actually shocked that it was true.
Who saw the first Star Wars when it came out? I saw it the day after it came out in the 70s.
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I saw it when it first came out, but probably not on the first day, I doubt.
Yeah, it was the first week for sure. I saw it.
I was born like a few months after the last movie came out, or at least the prequels don't count. But I guess they kind of do now. I mean the Jar Jar Binks conspiracy sounded so ludicrous, but like now that I see it, it makes sense.
But he's really Luke's grandfather also.
Luke's grandfather, who by the way is named Cuck Skywalker.
No, it was Chris. You're making a jokey poo.
Making a jokey Skywalker. Poo.
Yeah, he was kind of
Chris, you know, Kyle Skywalker
liberal. But I thought the whole Death Star coming out of that planet was really brilliant. The snow planet, and then why would they just like annihilate the rebellion like that quick? You know?
Yeah, like, I couldn't believe they killed off every single hero. Usually they at least leave one, but I think that's so they can do a clean slate for the next movie. After, you know, killing everybody.
Well, I mean, they did after they killed Chewie, right? After Luke killed Chewie.
Oh, that was so sad. I cried when Chewie died.
I know.
Oh.
I felt... I don't cry. Okay, I'll admit it. I cried, too. I hate when, like, Hollywood pulls my strings like that.
Oh,
I couldn't help it.
Yeah. I couldn't help it, because he's always been my favorite character. And, I mean, now, when R2 got crushed between the gears of that giant walker, okay... I was disturbed by that. Okay,
I never liked R2.
I can't
believe they brought him back for this.
Oh yeah,
weird.
Oh,
but
yeah.
they have that BB-8 character.
He's such old technology though, man. I mean, he's like an IBM Selectric typewriter compared to a computer.
But he had a voice, and I didn't understand like why they gave that R2 unit. Oh, I guess it's an R2.
He was really,
unit.
Really
a voice.
Femi and gay or British. I can't tell.
But
I guess they're gonna. I think they're gonna play it up so that CP3O and him become lovers. I think that's the end goal of this.
Does CP3O run on Android?
I don't know. And we might find out it was that little ball droid that actually was responsible for R2's destruction. So it's like in like a jealous droid rage.
Droid rage.
I don't know. But pretty good. And what'd you think about the celebrity cameos, Steve?
Well, what did you think about the fact that Woody Allen wrote the script? I was kind of blown away by that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Everybody talks about J.J. Abrams and everything. That's all you hear about. And then, boom. Yeah.
Nope, in the end credits, it's a J.J. Abrams and Woody Allen. It was pretty amazing.
It kind of makes sense because they have just released the trailer for the new Star Trek, and you couldn't expect him to write two scripts, right? So I'm sure he had to get some help. And I think that kind of explains some of the funny aspects of the film. You know, there was kind of some bad puns in there, but...
Yeah, and Woody Allen hasn't been funny in a long time, and people kind of, like, get on him about it, but I think his more serious dramas are a lot more compelling than his early funny stuff. Yeah. I'm one of the few people that believe that, or maybe a lot of people believe that, but I know people always complain about that he's not funny anymore, but I think he wrote the jokes that were in this, and the jokes were pretty good.
When he dies 3 years from now, I think his three best films are going to be remembered as Annie Hall, Match Point,
Bananas.
And Star Wars.
Bananas.
Well, hey, what did you guys think about how they recasted Jabba the Hutt with Whoopi Goldberg? That was just kind of a surprise.
Yeah, she put on like 80 pounds for that role.
No, she slimmed down a little, actually.
Yeah.
Sparring again with Whoopi.
But the Woody Allen thing makes sense when you look at the Harrison Ford, him hitting on all the young chicks and getting them all.
It makes sense. That was totally a Woody Allen character, man. One of them even looked like Muriel Hemingway.
I'd hit them all.
I think it's Hemingway's daughter. I think she has a kid. You hit it.
Like the fist of an angry god.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be back for
hour two.
Hour two. Send us your Star Wars questions here at TalkBack@FreedomFiends.com. We'll read them on the air.
Miller Twice on Twitter if you want to hit me up.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Trigger
warning.
We've
got Donald Trump coming in. Donald Trump is on the phone.
That's true. That's very true. And frankly,
Donald Trump wants to discuss Jim Jesus's article, How to Win Political Arguments Against Libertarians, which I will link in the show notes.
It's a fantastic article. I guess apparently over the break, he decided he didn't want to be an anarcho-capitalist anymore. He wanted to be a statist, is why he's not on the show. It's a fantastic article. I fully agree with that. You need to have a very big government. If someone wants to read it, it's fantastic.
I watched the debates tonight, and when you said that you were willing to build the wall, I screamed at the TV and threw it out in the snow. You just did it for the money, man. You just want the contract to build the wall. That's what this is all about, I think.
Well, like I said, Mexico's going to pay for it, so it doesn't really matter where the money comes from, as long as it's not coming from America, because let's face it, because frankly, there's no one that could build a wall like me. We built a fabulous resort here in Vegas. It's wonderful. It's got a lot of windows. It's fantastic, and it's going to be white and gold and everything. It's going to be beautiful, and we're going to pay $0. I'm going to make Mexico do it with magic. It's fantastic, and frankly,
magic.
But frankly, I could do it. Yeah. And we're gonna make the wall great again.
Trump, do you think you were stumped tonight or no?
Well, frankly, if you think that being stumped is getting, you know, jabs by a guy with lesbian hair, I guess you could say technically, frankly, that's true. But I don't think so.
Which candidate do you mean has lesbian hair, and why is it all of them?
I don't want to get into it, because frankly, I like Rand Paul. He's a great guy, but let's face it, his hair.
He has
is
the
silly.
Hair of a lesbian.
Yeah, yeah.
The Paul family, God love them. They've got the Elvin gene in their DNA.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
always
that's
after
true.
Me, Lucky Charms. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah,
Timothy Leary. Do you ever notice how much? And how you'd never seen Ron Paul and Timothy Leary at the same time. Although, and this is true.
I have a theory
about
that.
Timothy Leary once organized a benefit for Ron Paul. Google that.
Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
Makes sense.
But why?
Put that in your Google page.
Why?
Because Timothy Leary was into freedom and into legalizing drugs and had spent time in prison for drugs. And this was back probably the first time that Ron Paul ran for president. When was that? The first time
88.
He was. Yeah. Yeah. It was then. Yeah. Yeah. That's why. Makes sense. But they look a lot alike, and they were in the same room probably at that time. So might be
I remember this because I was going to actually run for president as a Democrat, and I was going to ban all the guns and legalize all the abortions and everything, and even partial. I was going to do post-birth abortions. I was going to let those happen too. It was fantastic. I just, you know.
Up to the 30th trimester?
But, you know,
the
Obama's
90th,
on that
90th
ticket,
trimester?
So I have to change.
168th trimester.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, the flip side of the thing of nobody's on the internet saying things that they wouldn't say in person because they'd get punched is rich people ultimately very rich people like you, Trump, saying things that would get them punched and then hiding behind their goons. You do that, man, don't you?
No, I go on stage with all these people. They're wonderful people. They're wonderful, but let's face it, they're idiots. And I say that to them at their face, and they can't punch me, because if they punch me, then they'll look like a reactionary. I basically am. But they look like reactionaries, and I'd get elected. And then if they don't, I'd run in the third. Oh no, I'm not doing that now. Am I doing that? I forget. Where's my campaign manager?
You guys got any questions for Stump Trump here?
Oh, we are? Okay.
Come on, Pabby.
Okay.
Well, okay, so we had that situation where there was some type of person at a campaign event, and they were disrupting things.
Is that some kind of person, a minority? Is that,
and I think somebody said, light the MF on fire, as they carried him out, and they were yelling... Now, do you condone this kind of behavior, or is this, would you say this is, you know, a little extreme, or perhaps you, this did, and in fact, did they light him up?
I don't exactly know what you're saying, but frankly, I've been to Burning Man. It's a wonderful event. They have lots of things. They don't allow money, and that's, you know, everyone's dirty and no one's taking a shower. But you know, the drugs are wonderful, and the women are beautiful. Except, you know, you have to get them to shave. But it's a wonderful event, if that's what you're saying.
Wow. So, Babby, you were talking earlier about to me about how politics is the only profession where every goalpost is on wheels for easier moving. Do you want to ask Trump about that?
But yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
I said Steve.
Oh.
Didn't I?
Oh, I thought you said Babby, but yeah. Yeah. So,
I don't think so. Maybe.
So,
play the tape, Trump. Back.
Play the tape.
You don't want to. Go ahead, Steve.
We need to have a reporter that types like in court. Where's Randy England? Anyway, Trump, I've noticed that every time that so politics is the only profession in the world where every goalpost is kind of on wheels. Like, you get elected, and then it's, I know I said that I was going to revolutionize Washington and that lobbyists would be permanently out of power, and I would do this by virtue of bringing everyone to the table. But that didn't happen. So it's the Republicans' fault, etc. What goalpost do you plan to move? Because see, here's the thing. That's a wall, right? So you can only move your goalpost as far as your wall, because I'm assuming the wall is not going to allow some flip the goalpost.
Frankly, I have never been a big fan of football, but I bought a team a while ago, and since then it left a bad flavor in my mouth. But, you know, if I were to move the goalpost, it would definitely be somewhere around the touchdown. Is it touchdown or is it alley-oop? I forget. It's one of those.
There would probably be more winning, right? Won't we get? We're going to be bored with winning. Remember,
we're going to be bored with winning. There's going to be the goalposts are going to be so fantastic. They're going to be made of gold, so you could see them from very far away. Because yellow, it's not as good. You got to have gold. It reflects the sun. It just causes
it's your hair.
Yeah, and
then of course. Yellow.
Of course, we're going to give it a good hairstyle too, right in the middle, so it would catch the ball, and that way we wouldn't have to go and fetch it.
Okay, so nice. Next question in this, I guess I'm the moderator, and the debate is just Trump here. So,
debate.
I do have a correction, but it comes back to Trump. So, last night I said on the show, I don't know where I stand on chemtrails. I do know where I stand on chemtrails. I think most of what people think are chemtrails are just contrails.
I've never done cocaine.
I'm not talking to you. Nope, that's not what I'm asking. I meant to say I don't know where I stand on human-caused global warming. I do believe I'm not a chemtrail guy. I'm like Jim Babb, you know, show me more proof than you can. They show pictures of contrails and say these are chemtrails, and I don't believe it a bit. What I meant to say was I don't really know where I stand on human-caused global warming. It's such a complex problem, question, and there's so much like money in both sides of proving, quote unquote, air quotes, that one side or the other is right. Yeah, I'm kind of more concerned about pollution, which is what I went in to talk about. How, yes, in my county, people have been able to light the water coming out of their sink at various times.
I'm pro global warming. I'm a big fan. I fully support it 100%.
I'm amateur global warming. Not pro yet.
Okay, so it's a question for Trump. Oh. He's ready to answer, obviously. Go ahead. That's the question.
Well,
where do you stand?
Well, frankly, there's a lot of questions that we have as a nation, like why is our water catching on fire? Is it just a natural? Is it just a natural thing that comes from the springs?
But
frankly, I think that Obama needs to show his long-term he needs to show another birth certificate of some kind, and then I will give $5 million to whatever charity he wants. And that's what I'm. Yes, and then we can investigate fracking.
You know, as long as we're given challenges here, like, you know, the spice challenge, I challenge Stefan Molyneux to prove that he hasn't lost that Bitcoin account's keys, hit the main one that he's still taking donations at that had $250,000 in it today. Move one Bitcoin of that to some charity or to yourself, to another, something. I want to see that. I want to see movement on that account, or I'm going to just keep thinking, dude, you lost that key like you lost the other one, but you're just too weird and ashamed, and you're still taking donations that are going into the bottom of the moon, and you won't be able to get them until you get to Alpha Centauri.
Are you sure that he's still taking donations at that Bitcoin address?
I checked it at his site today. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, what we should do is
he's no dummy. Why would he be sending Bitcoin to something? You know, perhaps he's just being cool about it. And like a lot of people, you're just stacking your Bitcoin. You're waiting. Maybe he thinks it's going to be worth 100 times that, and he just wants to be cool about it, doesn't want to generate a taxable event of some kind. It's Canada.
You could be right.
And if they feel they're not getting their money's worth, well, then they should take that up with Stefan. But he doesn't owe anybody any explanation, as far as I can see.
You know why it's stupid? No, it's a challenge. He's not going to do it. He don't care about
what's in it for him.
You know what's in it for him? Somebody not kicking in his door and holding a gun to his head and demanding his keys. $250,000 is enough for the Russian mob to kick in your door and do that.
What do they call it? Rubber hose hacking?
Yeah. Rubber hose cryptography, decrypting.
He should have at least like moved it into different accounts and stuff.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not wishing him violence. I'm saying, like, dude, you're an idiot to have $250,000. In your house. That's what that says, basically. It's like, if you come in my house and beat me enough, you can get me to turn over $250,000. Like, people kick in doors for a lot less than that. That should be in 50 or 100 different accounts.
It's like keeping gold bars in your safe.
With
like, you know the combination.
With a webcam on them. Yeah. Yeah.
I think what we should do is send them some micropayments. Coinbase, where you can actually leave messages on the
donation. People do that all the time. People do that all the time to him.
Oh, and just say, like, oh, you're an idiot?
Yeah, all the time.
You do? Oh, wow.
They don't always put messages in him, but people send him, like, a Satoshi every day.
Yeah, that's how it's gotten so huge.
It was 100,000 $2 donations.
Yeah.
People just trying to annoy him into riches.
#Hashtag Google True Shives.
Yeah. We'll be back after this trip to the market.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows. My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
It's all you guys.
It's
actually mono. The podcast in stereo. The radio's in mono. All radio, pretty much all AM radio's in mono.
Simulated stereo.
What, Jim?
When are we going to get on FM? Simulated stereo, when we both talk at the same time.
We're on a couple FM stations. We're on a station in Montana that's 93,000 watts, and God bless them for putting us on. It's Kinx, K-I-N-X, 102.7 FM in Great Falls.
Nice.
Honestly, though, if you're talking about reach, I'd probably rather be on a 20-watt station in a big city than a 93,000-watt station in rural Montana. You'd probably reach more people.
Yeah, but how many yaks are you going to reach with your, you know,
urban location? But you're going to reach a lot of sheep and barley on this Montana station.
So it's called Kinx. Was this Kinx? Did you get on Kinx? Did you get on the station back with your original podcast? And then
no, it's not.
Oh, okay,
it's not called that for that reason.
Okay.
Who's tippling a glass of liquor with ice in it? I hear it.
Not yet. Not me.
Okay.
Later. I'm at limited table space. Sorry, trying to shuffle things around. So that I have
he's probably adding stuff to his coffee. Come on, drink it black like a man.
So Steve Miller sent me an awesome picture.
That was a microaggression, by the way. James, that was a sexist microaggression.
James or Steve, I think it was James, sent me a picture that I'm now using as my Twitter, the top of my Twitter, you know, the Twitter header, as you kids call it. And it's an awesome picture of a Miami Jeb Bush supporting party where, like, you know, the Jeb for President coalition in Miami went to their office and all sat in chairs and watched the debates on TV. Now,
is that where he's based? Isn't he Florida based?
Yeah, he's Florida based. He is Florida man. There's one guy. Steve went to seminary school, and Steve's comment was, "We had better parties than this at seminary." There's one guy in a chair. There's two guys in chairs watching it, and then there's like six people over on the side not watching it.
And the crazy banners on the wall, like, yeah, Jeb, with the exclamation point, Jeb!
Yeah. And the one guy that's so like seriously watching it in the front row, he's drinking like Kool-Aid, like not Kool-Aid, but he's drinking like he's not even drinking beer. He's not even drinking coffee, man. Like, this is the party. You're drinking like sports drink and watching your guy fail, you know?
Wow. Did they let him in the debate? I guess. I heard there was a debate.
I watched it for 2 minutes, and he was in it for sure. And, you know, we had sexier parties at the all-boys Episcopal boarding school I went to, I got to say, too. No homo.
Yeah. No homo.
I didn't mean that. Like, you know, I wanted hot girl action, and we had better parties at the all-boys boarding school I went to than this. This looks depressing. Really does.
The Jeb Bush party, yeah.
There was an Onion article that was pretty funny. It was something like Rand Paul, like, it was basically the idea that if you slip below 3% in the polls during the debate, they just pull you off stage with a sheep's crook. I wish they'd done that.
Like the Apollo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, if the crowd could boo someone off the debate stage, that'd be great. What?
I saw
Trump was pretty much almost booed off stage, but yeah, you know, they let
really
him stay on.
Wow.
But he can pack a room. Jeb apparently can't pack a room.
Yeah, but so can Bernie Sanders. Come on.
What was interesting is they kind of stacked the deck for Rand Paul. There was a lot of Rand Paul supporters screaming every time he said something.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He's in a boy band now. I don't know if you knew this or not.
He was when they were screaming, it was usually he said something really, really good. So, I mean, Rand's good on the rhetoric, but
there were a bunch of
some of the
Rand's,
things he does,
Rand's but, read an economics book in his life. His dad used to spank him with Mises books.
Right. He'll say stuff like, yeah, we shouldn't be muddling in other affairs, but I do want to fund that particular army over there. You know, like stupid stuff like that. You know,
Rand Paul's the edgy one in the boy band called the Gold Standard.
Oh, man. Yeah, he's the one with a little more facial hair than the other guys in the boy band.
Yep.
Yeah, he's Mark, not Marky Mark's brother in the boy band.
I definitely walked past some people talking about Mises the other day in Philadelphia, and I can assure you that that is not a common occurrence.
Yeah.
You do not walk past me.
Wait, you it was a random encounter with people talking about Mises?
Yeah.
In Philly?
You sure they were talking about Mises pieces?
Were they like, did they have masks on in front of the Federal Reserve or?
No. Okay, it was two women. I'm not making this up. Wow. I was not dreaming this. Yeah, literally happened.
So they were at the nail salon getting their pedicure and
talking visas.
Oh yeah, yeah. Like, oh, did you read Human Action yet?
you ever heard the
Hey Girls term in Austrian economics?
You ever heard the Doug Stanhope bit about the homeless crackhead black street hooker who is talking about Austrian economics?
No.
That was a long pause. No. Okay, we'll be back after this trip to the market. It exists. Michael Dean,
this is what radio sounds like now.
Die, Sith scum.
So you just told me that your friend's with some movie star, but when I search his name, it tries to correct it to someone else.
Yeah, well, he was my friend. I haven't talked to him since I lived in L.A. But
Michael Marsden, M-A-R-S-D-E-N?
Or Matthew Marsden.
Ah, okay, there you go.
Yeah. Google.
All right,
Google.
That is a person.
That is a person.
All right, yeah. Confirmed.
Yeah, we were talking about the
documents.
We're talking about the copy of the Star Wars movie we all watched today, and it was this weird thing where, like, it was through the one Hollywood movie connection I still have left of, like, I knew someone that knew someone, and I worked on some movie that someone worked on, and they did this thing where we all had to log in, all four of us at the same time. We had to, like, have webcams on us the whole time, broadcasting to the studio to show that we weren't bootlegging it across the screen, like every 15 seconds in like fluorescent green. It said, screener loaned to Michael W. Dean and like with my phone number on it. So if it ends up bootlegged, you know, they can kill me,
which got
it was
annoying.
It almost spoiled
the movie, but not really. Yeah.
It was kind of like what Woody Allen does. Oh, there's a new Woody Allen documentary called Woody Allen, a documentary on
creative title.
It's great. It's great. It's
on Netflix. Yeah.
Yeah. But
the documentary.
He's kind of like that. He's like that with his scripts. Like he doesn't mail scripts to actors. He has someone come at their house and like sit in the room with them while they read it and then take it back 4 hours later.
Smart. Isn't
that weird?
No, that's smart. That's smart.
Yeah. But he also like doesn't consider the script absolute. Like he lets people improvise around it using his script as just kind of a suggestion, which is kind of neat.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Keep it funny.
So Trump had to go. Nice. He didn't want to talk to us anymore.
No.
Well, you want to talk about the debate?
Also later, we're going to try to do our new segment, Tell Your Problems to Jesus.
We start that now. I'm ready. Is Jesus ready? Jesus?
Yeah, I'm ready. I didn't know I had questions lined up. Let's do this.
Like, go ahead,
catch
Abby.
Me totally unprepared.
Gonna that's going to be, we'll bring that up towards, I think, for the final segment.
So, okay.
All right.
A quickie then.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll fix all your problems.
Now, you guys were watching, Jim Jesus, you watched some of the debate or?
All of
I
it.
Watched.
You
yeah,
knew
watched
it, the, you knew there was a Republican debate, right?
Yeah, that's I watched the adult
to know
table.
There's a debate.
I didn't watch. Well, the only reason why I knew is because it happened in Vegas.
In your town, in
yeah. Yeah, oh, and cool. I don't know if you know this or not, but I was doxxed recently. Someone announced I lived in Vegas.
That's not much Boom. Of a dox. Yeah. Really, yeah. Really isn't.
It was really bad. It was kind of pathetic, but you know.
So well, SJWs. It was kind of pathetic, especially considering that if they'd searched a little harder, they could find where someone else has doxed you, and it's still up, and they did a much better job of it. Yeah. Like it has your parents, the address they used to live at, or something. You know? Yeah. And a picture of you with your dad. Yeah. Has a picture of you with your dad. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot better than Jim Jesus. They didn't get it right, though. They didn't say you lived in Vegas. They said you lived in Summerlin adjacent or
right, because I mentioned that I lived near Summerlin.
Yeah, I live
thing,
Douglas.
I live in wow. Vegas.
Hey, well, I'll dox myself. I'm Douglas, Wyoming adjacent.
Interesting.
And that's the home of the jackalope, so don't mess with it.
Yeah.
Well, their method of doing research for the doxing was to look at years-old YouTube comments. So, yeah. You know, you reap what you sow.
But you know what? Yeah. If they just took the time to actually look at my Twitter page, it said on there, I live in Vegas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, but people are dumb. SJW.
Okay. Yo, if you don't behave yourself, Jim Jesus, we're gonna tell everybody what you've told everyone on Twitter already. Watch it.
The guy that doxed Jim, the Molyneux fan that doxed Jim, that actually doxed some other people correctly, like, you know, found a bunch of like really
a proper doxing,
doxed me like extensively and wrong, like. You could have found everywhere I would have been 7 years ago if you'd followed his doxing. You know, he had like my home address in L.A., my home phone number in L.A., my old email address in L.A., my mail drop in L.A., you know, but it was all like 7 years. Like, I don't even live in that state anymore. And I lived somewhere in L.A. after all that. But yeah, man, if you have a time machine, you could have got me with his doxing.
Yeah. Nice. That's why I'm always hesitant to share like home addresses. Like sometimes people are like, let's post the address of that judge or you know, like, or that cop or something like that. I'm like, well, what if they moved and you didn't know? Yeah. You know, like, no, I'm not doing
There's
that.
Actually, you know, I mean, not that our point is violence for anybody. Our point would probably be go in front of their house and yell at them on their way to work at worst. But there's actually an episode of The Shield where there's drug dealers taking out the competition, like Mexican cartel people in LA, by throwing grenades through windows. But they're working off an old list. They're like killing school teachers and stuff, and like people that aren't in the drug game who live in a house that a year ago drug dealers lived in.
Accuracy counts. You know?
Yeah, it does. Like, I mean, or horseshoes and hand grenades.
Yeah. And what's interesting is that's kind of what happened with Sharon Tate when the Mansons killed her. Because I guess he was going after a record producer that turned him down for his folk music. Yeah. And then what happened was he was going to get retaliation and put it on the whole Helter Skelter thing. And then went to Sharon Tate. And then when he knew he was in trouble when he came back and they said, oh, we killed Sharon Tate. It's like,
see, that really like takes him down a couple notches because, you know, it wasn't really about starting the race war and then him running the world. It was just a beef because someone didn't sign his crappy music. Wow.
Folk music, yeah.
Hillary didn't get into art school and look what happened.
I know, man. I think that there needs to be some kind of social justice for, like, you know, instead of food stamps and like art stamps, like we'll buy you 30 followers so you don't become a mass murderer if you're a crappy artist, you know?
Yeah, but if we can only predict it.
Like 30 people who will really act like fans. Like they'll write you and bug you and, you know, buy one of your paintings for $5 once a year, you know? I think the government needs to provide that.
Is it like that service that you buy where you get a pretend girlfriend that sends you messages on Facebook so everyone can see and think that you have a girlfriend when you don't?
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Ew.
Yeah, it's for...
I would so rather be alone than do that. Like, there's strength in being alone. And I'm not talking about some kind of like, you know, what's it called? The Men Hate He-Man Girl Haters Club?
I think it's supposed to like make your exes jealous. I think that's the goal of it.
Okay. Man, that's pathetic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nina Vidotti once told me that when he was a kid and, like, you know, first heard about food stamps and he was like 12 or 13 and getting really interested in girls but was still a virgin, he thought the government should provide like whore stamps if you can't get any on your own. I thought that was pretty funny.
Why not? Like, you know, what do they call it? Like a basic income?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even like the most unlovable person like should get a roll in the hay once a year. For health purposes, from the government. I don't really
roll
that.
In the hay. Yeah. Don't lie in government hay.
Don't lie in government hay.
That would mean that they would all have to come to my state. Please, no, go away.
There's competition there.
Yeah, we don't want any of you.
Yeah.
Sex welfare queens.
Sex welfare queens.
You got some itch down in your crotch, and you're like, oh man, it's got the tumbleweeds.
Well, you know, really,
the government cheese will have a whole new meaning, right?
Got the crotch crickets.
That's funny.
Crotch crickets.
Ooh.
Yeah. James is like, can you say that on radio?
I just did, can. James. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
No, it's not the saying it. It's the picturing it in my mind.
Crotch crickets that made you go, ooh. Yeah. Well, you know, really, if government can provide everything they provide so far. It's like there's really no end to that, even past the point of, you know, unlovable people getting a roll in the hay once a year anyway from the government whores. It really, like, it basically should get to just, you know, you're in a chair with a tube in each end watching a screen, and the government's providing everything going in and out of the tube and on the screen, right?
It's kind of Matrix-y, you know?
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, if the Matrix made sense.
did we bash the Matrix on here, or did I dream that?
No, we have. We have.
I mean, like yesterday or the day before?
Yesterday.
I liked the Matrix. I liked it.
No, yeah. You don't. You're wrong. You're wrong. Objectively wrong.
You just I have a weird
A weird connection to the Matrix I haven't discussed on the show in a long time. Do you guys know about how one of the brothers that wrote the Matrix, like, basically...
Well, they're not brothers anymore. They're siblings.
Right. One of them is now a woman.
Oh, that's very progressive
and,
of you.
And he was influenced to that
by
a woman he was dating, who pretty much goes by the name only Mistress Ilsa. And Ilsa Strix, I know her and used to like lay in her bed and play around with her in San Francisco. I knew her when.
Which character was this?
It's not a character. It's the girlfriend of, it's the wife, actually legally the wife of one of the Wachowl, what are they called, James, brothers, siblings?
I don't know.
The Wachowski,
siblings.
Now they're just the Wachowskis. Yeah. I thought you were talking about the Italian lady that was in the second movie.
No, this woman's not in the movie. This woman is married to the Wachowski that's now a woman.
Right, and, I was just hoping.
Like, influenced and encouraged that change.
I'd wreck that girl. Yeah. She's like 100 years old now, and she still looks amazing. I've seen her.
Not the woman I'm talking about.
Right. The Italian woman that went under the kiss.
Yeah, the woman I'm talking about is probably 45 and tall and blonde and good-looking and used to be a dominatrix, but now is just married to a Wachowski and had it sex changed.
Hmm.
Yeah.
These things happen.
Here, I got some really inside baseball. Have you ever seen CSI? There's a character named Mistress Heather or Mama Heather or something. She's a professional dominatrix that recurs in a lot of CSI, the Vegas ones. She's based on Mistress Ilsa Strix and was written by Jerry Stahl, who knew her from poetry readings and stuff in L.A.
All right.
Hmm. Wow.
Crickets.
Crash crickets. What I mean about the talking about TV shows nobody watches part.
Yeah.
You know what? You say that. Like, why segment. Would anyone want to hear about that obscure TV show you like, Michael? But did you know that CSI is the most watched TV show in the world in history, in all countries and languages? Yeah.
Is it really?
It really is.
Yep. It's almost like a show about homeopathy because it's junk science, like forensics is junk.
It kind of their presentation
always catch
of
the
it
bad
is,
guy is that
always
is?
Always.
Okay. I caught autism from CSI.
just wait for the episode where all the people come back and find out DNA exonerates every single one of them.
All right, we'll be back for the redemption in the third act.
Jesus.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, this is some Squiscar Squiggles from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yeah.
So we're introducing a new segment here. Called Bring Your Problems to Jesus.
It's called Tell Your Problems to Jesus.
Thank you. And it's Jim Jesus, our co-host. So what do you got there? We have some user questions.
Well, listener. Right. It's a new segment, and I was moved by the plight of a guy named Dan I saw on the internet. And I came across Dan. A picture of him on the Faces of Bernie Facebook page where people show like, hey, I love Bernie because of this and that. And anyway, so this guy posts a picture of him with his little baby and his presumably his wife. He says, this is a sort of a plea to Bernie. But since Bernie, I figure, can't help this guy, I thought we could tell this problem to Jesus and see how Jesus might want to respond to this guy. He says, I'm a 30-year-old graduate from Penn State. Took me 10 years to get a job that paid more than $2,000 a year and was swiftly laid off.
Wait, $2,000 a year?
$2,000 a year.
Wow.
And was swiftly laid off 8 months later. Turns out, I'll jump ahead, that was for a minor league baseball job. I'm not making it up. Our parents, he was in a minor league baseball job, got $2,000 a year, laid off 8 months later, didn't even get a whole year. He says, our parents
Was it the Casper Ghosts?
Wait, what was his degree in?
That's a real thing.
Our parents have been wonderful during this time. We have a ton of student debt and only one degree. There aren't that many jobs in television these days. And without Bernie, we aren't sure how to make our living.
Wow.
What can we do for Dan? And you look at this guy and you're like, wow, you are really, it just breaks your heart that this that a human being would end up in this situation. And since Bernie can't help Jesus, what do you suggest?
I'd say drink bleach and come home. Oh, wait, no. I think the big thing is to actually get a degree that matters. Why would you be in television, especially when that whole medium's kind of going down right now? What are you doing?
Nobody in television that makes money went to college for it either.
Yeah. A lot of them just kind of just fell into
it. Nima Vidotti went to college for television, got an associate degree in it, ended up on the news in Casper, Wyoming, on the whole state, on ABC or NBC, like, you know, network news, making a little more than $2,000 a year, but not much. And then, like, upgraded from there to doing the same thing in rural Washington State, and then finally said, you know, I could make more money delivering pizza. And he moved to Austin, got married, and he just hated the job because it was like soul crushing, working for the man, being the mouthpiece for the man, you know, interviewing the local chief of police of, tell me why we need more tax money to fund the police. Like, that was the kind of assignments he was sent on. And he delivered pizzas for a couple years, made well more than $2,000 a year. Oh wait, I'm not Jesus. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, man.
Yeah. But yeah, if you go out to the middle of the boondocks, that's probably where you can only find jobs like that. I mean, that's where like
minor league baseball shows. And pizza.
Yeah, radio the shows Casper will Ghosts. Go into the boondocks where no one listens, and then work weekends and holidays, and then move their way up into.
That's pretty New funny. York. Freedom Fiends host making fun of this guy for only making $2,000 a year.
Become an ANCAP and hang out with Michael Dean, and he'll put you on the radio.
Yeah.
Maybe this guy could do a show with us. That'd be great.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So who else have we got?
What's the next question? Tell me your sins. Sorry, Steve. I stole your thunder, Jesus. I just had a lot to say to this poor person. Well, Steve, what did you say?
Do you have a question?
Wait,
do you have a problem for Jesus?
Bab posted an answer to that guy. What was your answer to that guy about Social Security?
Oh, I just said, you know, because this is a Bernie thing. I said, oh, you know, thank God Bernie will never cut Social Security because 30-year-old children aren't cheap.
That's true.
Yeah, when you've got these families living with you, and you better get some Social Security to cover that.
Yeah.
These man children living in your basement. Yeah.
A safety net makes a nice hammock.
Yeah. But don't worry, if Bernie Sanders does cut it, he's only going to cut like the top 1% of the top 10% of what you're going to get back. So don't worry. Yeah.
Yeah. Steve, do you have any problems for Jesus?
Yeah, Jesus. What's 11 minus 3? It's a math problem.
Oh, basically, wrong one.
Don't tell your math problems to Jesus.
I'm bad with math.
This isn't a homework helpline. This is.
We're a number station. Yeah.
You can fiend phone in with your homework questions. That's it. Yeah. Maybe that's where we'll take this segment, where it'll be actually people will send in their homework questions for Jesus.
Name of Jesus.
And Jesus' answer will just be, Google is your friend.
Yeah, I'm terrible with math off my head. Go away. Yeah. I have to pull out my calculator.
Are you saying Google made prayer obsolete?